Amen. Amazing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Another expression of his loving kindness and his tender mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful today that God didn't give me what I rightly deserve. But he allowed grace to abound and give me another chance. And every chance I get, I have to tell God, thank you for what you've brought me through, for what you've brought me over. Amen. Has it been good to you? I feel like I need to ask that question today. Has the Lord really been good to you today? Amen. Amen. The reason why that song touches me and ought to touch you is because you know yourself better than anybody. And you know what you have been and what you haven't been. And the God that we serve keeps us through those times in our life when we haven't been everything we should have been. Haven't done everything we should have done. Haven't gone every place we should have gone. But we serve a God that looks beyond our faults. Do I have anybody here today got some faults? And the Lord look beyond your faults. And then he meets every one of your needs. And that's why we gather here on Sundays to tell God, thank you that you look beyond my faults and saw my needs. There's a word in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Beginning at verse number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 4. Amen. You will find these words. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and as much assurance as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And I want to reason today for a few moments from the thought, I just can't help myself. I just can't help myself. There are those who think that it's an easy task being preacher, pastor. They think it's all about wearing nice clothes, driving nice cars, living in a nice house with a lot of money. That definitely doesn't apply to me. But consequently, you have people who view it as a profession rather than a calling. A profession is something you choose to do based upon its earning potential. Thusly, everything is tied to the economics of any decision you make. Translated, that's where we get your prosperity preachers from. They want to convince you that your salvation, your blessings are tied up in your giving. Not so much the giving of your time or your talent, but the giving of your money. Don't get me wrong, it's right to give to the storehouse, which is the church, but how many know that you cannot buy salvation? Why? Because it's already paid for. And how can you buy what's already paid for? You do know that Jesus paid it all, don't you? And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Anybody been washed? He washed me white as snow. Salvation is a gift. I cannot buy it. So the preacher who preaches based upon the profession is often more concerned about money than he is about your sins. That, my brothers and sisters, is a sad indictment, but the preacher pastor who has been called, set apart, picked out by the Lord is not one who is motivated to preach for any other reason than for saving souls. When you have been called by the Lord, you proclaim the gospel not for fame, not for fortune, but because of a severe case of, I just can't help myself. You know what that really means, don't you? You know what it really means? You know how it is and was when you thought you were in love for the first time. When he or she would come around, you would go to grinning. Your friend would tease you. You would try to deny it. But as soon as he or she would come anywhere close, you would show all 32. And you didn't have to say a word. It was written all over your face. That was a case of, I just can't help myself. As a matter of fact, they didn't have to come around. You could just think about them and you would just go to smiling uncontrollably. And it's the same way with the gospel. Whether you are a preacher, pastor, usher, choir member, deacon, or bitch member, it will give you a case of, I just can't help myself. And as soon as you get in the house of worship, you can't help but to worship him. There'll be somebody here today say, Pastor, you on my street. I really can't help myself, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out. And here we are today in Mount Moriah to honor the God that dwells within us. I wonder if there's anybody here today that's got a case of, I just can't help myself. It means God has kept you all week long. That God has given you health and strength, clothes you in your right mind, put food on the table, clothes on your back, money in your pocket, joy in your heart, salvation in your future. Is there anybody here got a case of, I just can't help myself? Listen. You can't help but praise the Lord. You're not let who's sitting by you affect your worship or your praise. Listen, if you don't want to praise him, don't hinder me. And listen, some of us didn't have to wait until we got to Mount Moriah. Some of us been thanking God all week long. And like that first girlfriend, like that first boyfriend, who all you had to do was think about it, it applies here, because when you think of his goodness, when you think of his mercy, when you think of all of the things he's gotten you out of that you got yourself into, listen, you just can't help but give God the praise that's due him. Is there anybody here can look back over your life and see some situations, remember some stuff you got in, but God got you out of it and you came out unscathed? Listen, you ought to tell God thank you. That's what Ezekiel was talking about when he says, it's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. Listen, he had a case of, I just can't help myself. Jeremiah had the same problem. He said, it's just like fire shut up in my bone. Ezekiel said, it's like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. The call, preacher, pastor, does not proclaim the gospel based upon economics, but rather the direction of the Holy Ghost. And listen, if you had never felt the Holy Ghost, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, let me feel the Holy Ghost. I just want to feel your presence. I just want to feel your anointing. And in order to do anything for the Lord, how many know you got to have the Holy Ghost? Listen, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, listen, you can't stand what folk put on you. I wish I had a witness in here today. In order to deal with church folk, in order to deal with black church folk, how many know you got to have some Holy Ghost in you? In order to deal with folk talking about you and scandalizing your name and saying all manner of evil against you, you got to have the Holy Ghost. Y'all running around here operating on your own. You can't stand it by yourself. How many know I need the Lord every day? Amen. Listen, let me be honest with you. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I would have cut some of y'all out by now. But it's the Holy Ghost. Listen. I'm a pretty good preacher, but in my day I was a decent cusser as well. But thank God for the Holy Ghost that restrains me. Do I have anybody here today can say, preacher, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, I'd be locked up somewhere. I'd be in a world of trouble. Thank God. For the Holy Ghost. Preaching that is safe. Preaching that is easy is a desecration of the Word of God. It is a subordination of the preacher daring speech to the conforming speech of the consumer's appetite. Listen, you've got to give them the word, and you've got to give it to them uncut. But because my Bible tells me that it cuts going in, and it cuts coming out. That means when I cut you, I'm cutting me too. Because listen, you don't know it, and you might not think it, but I got some faults. I see some of y'all already knew it. Yeah, I got some too. So when I give you the word, I'm not only directing it at you, but I'm directing it at me. Because I tell the Lord, Lord, shine your light down on me. And if you find anything within me that's not right, take it out and strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be whole. I want to be saved. Preaching that's real must stress to you of yourself and make you naked before your hearer, so that in your humanness, in your nakedness, God's name can be magnified. Preaching strips away your mask, tears down your defenses. Preaching ransacks and rips up your life so that you are baptized in the fire of the Holy Spirit, so that when you stand up on Sunday mornings, you combust and burn with energy and enthusiasm. What am I saying? You ought to come to church ready for service. I watched y'all today. Rem Welch wasn't here. And you know, y'all used to him getting you pumped up. Y'all used to him getting you hyped. I was watching y'all. I stand at the back and watch a whole lot of stuff. But listen. He's gifted, he's talented, but I don't need Rem Welch to get me hyped. I don't need the choir if it's not their best day. That's fine. I don't need them to get me hyped. Listen. When I get here, I'm already on 10. And it don't take a whole lot to go ahead and set me off. I wish somebody would strike a match in here today so that somebody would catch on fire. Do I have a witness in here today? Don't depend on nobody. You ought to come here. Sister Delaney? You ought to come here ready to tell God, thank you. You ought to come here ready to tell God, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Ain't nobody got to tell me to wave my hand. Ain't nobody got to tell me to stand up. I already know what the Lord's done for me. And can I tell you, you don't know like I know. And if God's going to use you, God's got to burn you up. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord, Jeremiah said, in your mother's womb, I sanctified you and made you a prophet. Here in this text, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, saying to them, I remember you without ceasing, your work of faith and labor of love, your work and patience that you had in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing, beloved, your election is of God. Preaching, when it's real preaching, you don't have to sell it. Preaching is not for sale. Because the preacher knows that he's proclaiming to those who God has elected and the Spirit has saved. When God has elected and the Spirit saved, preaching makes a difference in the hearer's life because it has made a difference in the preacher's life. Listen, if I don't believe what I'm saying to you, you're going to have a hard time believing it yourself. And I tell you all the time that every now and then God puts us in situations as preacher pastors to see if we really believe what we've been telling you all. Amen. It's easy to tell somebody when everything is going well for you that everything's going to be all right. It's easy when the problem is at their doorstep. It's easy when they're burying their loved one. It's easy when their mother's sick. But what about when it's you? How do you handle it? Do you come apart at the seams? Or do you say, I'm going to trust in the Lord? And a whole lot of us are big at telling other folk, child, you ought to be walking with the Lord long enough that you can handle this until it's your time. And that's why I tell folk at funerals, you hear people say, well, I know what you're going through. No, I don't know what you're going through. Because even though you may have lost a mother, and I've lost my mother, maybe they meant two different things to the different person. So you can't say what they're going. You know what they're going through. You don't really know. Let me see if I can make this make sense. Paul says, for our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Preaching is lifting the Sunday, letting the Sunday text strip us down to carry us to our baptism in fire, where people can see us naked and exposed and realize that God is pleased to use us. Translated, none of us are worthy to be used by the Lord. And if we're going to be used by him, God has to strip us down and literally see us naked. What are you saying? We've got to admit to God everything that we've done. And I've told you before, you ain't got to admit it to me. You ain't got to admit it to nobody sitting next to you, but you've got to confess it to the Lord. And I told you before, don't tell everybody everything you've done. Don't you do it. Amen. Folk are good at telling your child you need to go down and confess that. No, some stuff you need to keep to yourself. Amen. Amen. They don't need to know everything because they'll know it and talk about you. They'll find out about it and run you down, but God knows about it and he still loves you. Oh, that should have made somebody shout today because you know how hellish you've been. You know how mean you've been. You know what kind of life you lived. And God still loves you. God still allows you to work on his program. And you know you don't deserve it. So many times when the preacher passes down, the Lord will send somebody by with a word of encouragement. Somebody will come by and say, Reverend, thank you for the word today. You were talking to me. Little do they know I was really talking to myself, because when the word is spoken to me or your pastor and we speak it to you, it has power to you because it first had power to me. If my sermon does not minister to me, I know it's not going to minister to you. It has to minister to me first. And until the preacher gets real with himself, he can be a liar to his congregation. I got to tell you the truth about me. And that's why I tell y'all all the time, I'm not perfect. I make my mistakes. I made them, going to make some more. I struggle and you struggle and we struggle together and Jesus struggles with us and we will make it to where God wants us to be. As a church and as your pastor, you've got to understand that the pastor has struggles just like you do. And just like you, ask him to help you with your struggles. You must be willing to aid him in his struggles. It is the preacher who wears the mask, who is false as congregation. It is the preacher who pretends to be one thing when he's something else that God can't use among his people. You've got to be real with God's people. Ain't no sense of me sitting up here on Sunday morning acting like I'm so pious. So good that I've just been perfect all week long. No, that's not real. You got to be real. Because I believe that there are some people in here who I believe belong to the Lord. And I've got to be careful how I treat those who belong to the Lord. And so I need to be honest with you in my preaching so that you can get honest about your own life and recognize that the gospel strips us and makes us naked and bare so that we can tell each other the truth. The pastor must not just speak words. He must dispense the truth. That's why when he's finished, you ought not give him an applause. Applause is for a speech. If Obama came here and spoke, you ought to give him applause. Applause is for nice oratory, but when the calm man gets through on Sunday morning, it has not been a speech on oratory. He has been speaking words of life into your life, telling you the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And if you're on the wrong road, you ought to turn your life around. Jesus is not one answer. Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, shelter in a time of storm. Has Pastor Turner done that for you? He's a way out of nowhere. A friend when you're friendless. Bread when you're hungry. Water when you're thirsty. And I don't hardly get through without telling you I know he's all right. I tell you, he's made so many ways. He's opened so many doors. He's been so good to me in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of folk lying on me and talking about me behind my back, in spite of members leaving with a misunderstanding. God has been good to me. Anybody else feel like I do that in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your ups, in spite of your downs, in spite of folk lying on you? There's somebody here can say, God's been good to me. And you ought to tell your neighbor, I hadn't bothered you today, but you ought to tell your neighbor, God's been good to me. Oh, come on, that was the wrong neighbor. When you think about it, you ought to tell your other neighbor, God's been good to me. I mean, if it's really been good to you, you ought to turn behind somebody and tell them, God's been good to me. He's been better than good. Preaching is about dying to self. Paul says, you became followers of us and of the Lord. You became followers of us and through the Lord, through our life. You learn to follow the Lord. The most uplifting word you could ever give to your pastor is to say, Pastor, your preaching has helped to change my life. Ought to be some members at Mount Moriah who can say, Pastor, your preaching has helped change my life. That your preaching has helped elevate me. Pastor, I see things more clearly now, understand things now. That's because of your preaching. The pastor needs somebody every now and then to let him know that what he does on Sunday mornings is not in vain. Somebody is leaving here and going to the marketplace and in the workplace, in the schoolhouse, and telling somebody, let me tell you what my pastor talked about Sunday morning. You know, we talk about everything else. We Instagram about everything else. We Facebook about everything else. We tweet about everything else. But we don't tell people how great church was, what a powerful word we received on Sunday morning. Why don't you try telling somebody something good sometimes? If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can show somebody they're traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. You become followers of us and the Lord because you received the word with much affliction. I started preaching at 25 and pastoring at 27. I didn't know what I was doing. Let me say that. I didn't know what I was doing. But the Lord did. And the Lord knew not to call me to a Mount Moriah at 27 because I wouldn't have been able to handle it. Can I be honest with y'all? I got to Macedonia Baptist Church outside of Marshall, Texas, way out in the country. First Sunday I was there were 8 folk. Nobody under 60. I felt like Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. I said, Lord, why have you sent me here? Because I thought I was hot stuff. I was young, still young, but I was younger. I thought I was good looking, tall, dark, handsome, could sing a little bit. You know, I said, Lord, I deserve better than this. But the Lord knew what he was doing. And sometimes God has to place us in situations that will humble us. Because some of us get the big head. Some of us think we're better than other folks. Some of us think we ought to deserve better. But God has a way of humbling us, bringing us back down to reality, to where we ought to be. And so I have to thank God for my Macedonia. And if you've never dealt with these Texas folk, they're a whole different breed. And sometimes God has to get some stuff out of us so he can use us where we are right now. And sometimes we go through what we're going through because God is trying to purge us, trying to get some things out of us. So he can use us. Because sometimes he can't use you where you are. Because you think you know more than the Lord knows. And so in order for the pastor to have a vision, you know what? The people got to have a vision. And understand that God only gives a vision to the leader, not to the deacons, not to the presidents, not to the superintendents. The vision comes from God through the leader, the pastor. Who then conveys or passes the vision to the people he has placed over. As a pastor, listen, I will not lead a people who have no vision. For where there is no vision, the people perish. And I don't want to be a part of anything that's perishing, that's fading away. I want to be a part of something that's vibrant and growing. I believe in every church there are those persons placed there by the Lord to help keep us humble. Amen. You remember Paul, don't you? Paul was the most learned man in the New Testament. I mean, Paul was a genius. If he'd been in this day, he would have been a Rhodes Scholar. Paul was smart. And God knew that because of all of Paul's unique gifts and because of all of his learned abilities, God knew that he had to find a way to keep Paul humble. And so Paul says, "There's given to me a thorn in the flesh." Paul says, I sought the Lord about it 3 times. Said, God, move my thorn. The Lord said, Paul, I'm not going to move it because I need to keep you humble. But guess what, Paul? My grace is sufficient. And that's for somebody here. You've been going through. You've been asking the Lord, Lord, can you ease this burden? Lord, can you take away this pain? God says, my grace is sufficient. The Lord told him it was a messenger sent from heaven to buffet him, to keep him humble. And so every now and then, God's got to send a few problems your way so you don't get beside yourself. Every now and then, God's got to send a few struggles your way so that you don't forget about him. Because sometimes when we really got it going on, we think we did it ourselves. And at Mount Moriah, I've got a few thorns. Paul only had one. But I've got a few. Paul only asked me to be moved three times, but I ask almost daily. Listen, they won't join another church. They won't quit coming. It looks like they're going to outlive me. But they keep me humble. If I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what having faith in God could do. So through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. And listen, if there were no problems, if there were no turbulence, if there were no trials and tribulations, I'd have the prettiest knees in town. But because of my thorns, I got bad knees. They're dark. They stay sore. They're almost worn out from continual bending up and down. But in spite of the discomfort, we stay on our knees saying, Father, forgive them. And do you know what you've got to do when your enemies get on your trail? When your enemies, when the hell hounds on your trail, you've got to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You ain't got to cuss nobody out. You ain't got to tell nobody off. Because let me tell you, that ain't the Lord, that's you. How do you know I don't have to do that, Pastor? Because David says he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. We're still on our knees because it's hard to stumble when you're on your knees. People come here on Sunday morning not for a show or facade, but they come here in much affliction. There's somebody in here right now don't know how tomorrow's going to turn out. You're worried about your bills, you're worried about your son, your daughter, worried about your health. And when you get here on Sunday morning, you ought to be able to look to the pulpit and see somebody who's got a word to say to God's people on Sunday morning. And when you leave here on Sunday morning, you might still have the same problem you had when you came in. But when you leave with the pastor having given you hope for tomorrow. God, the preacher has spoken a word of hope in your affliction. Anybody come here today looking for a word? Amen. Oh, come on. Anybody come here today looking for a word? You're not looking for the preacher, pastor to solve your dilemma, but rather give you a word to help you through your dilemma. Yes. Preaching doesn't do anything. It ought to change somebody's life. Well, I've held you long enough. Let me cut across the field and bid y'all good morning. The pastor stands on Sunday morning, tells you the same story. You've heard it so many times, you could probably repeat it yourself. But I think I ought to repeat it here on this Sunday morning. You know the story by heart, but I think I'm going on and rehearse it for somebody who might be in here for the first time. He's Adam's redeemer. He's Abel's vindicator. Abraham's sacrifice. He's Noah's ark. He's Moses' bush on fire. He's Joshua's battle axe. Gideon's fleece, Samson's power. He's David's music. He's Solomon's wisdom. Y'all know him, don't you? He's Jeremiah's balm in Gilead, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Is there anybody here that know the Lord? He got only son, Mary, baby boy. He's James and June's big brother. He's Matthew's king, Mark's suffering servant, Luke's great physician, John's word made flesh. He's Acts, the coming of the Holy Ghost, the only begotten of the Father. Is there anybody here that know my Lord? He's a rock in a weary land, shelter in a time of storm, a friend when you're friendless. Is there anybody here that know my Lord? He's bread in a starving land, water when you're thirsty. Is there anybody here that know the Lord? Is there anybody here know you've been saved? If the Lord's been good to you, if the Lord made a way for you, if the Lord saved your soul, if the Lord put food on your table, why don't you grab somebody? Why don't you hug somebody and tell them, I just can't help myself. The Lord's been mighty good to me. The Lord brought me all the way. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? If you know he's all right, take your neighbor by the hand. Say, neighbor, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Can you say glory? Can you say glory? Glory! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! The Lord deserves our highest praise. And nobody has to tell me to praise the Lord. I've been doing it all week long. Driving up and down the dangerous highways. Late in the midnight hour. Sometimes drifting off to sleep, but God puts his arms around me. Keeps them from hurt, harm, and danger. And the least I can do is tell God, thank you for how you've kept me and you never left me.